If you are blind or partially sighted, you may be a golf or a curling fan. You may even play some of the sports yourself. But if you haven't, have you thought about trying the sport? It's growing around the world, whether it's golf or curling. And let's face it, if you play both, you can pretty much be out and about all year round. You can play for fun or you can play in competitions. You can travel around, even around the globe as well, taking part in all sorts of tournaments. And we regularly chat with Scottish Disability Golf and Curling, and they've got some news for us once again. We've got some golf to talk about, and indeed the start of the curling as well. Jim Gales is with me. It sounds as if you've had a pretty busy time of it recently, Jim.
It is. It's very busy, Alan. Most of the summer months have been spent obviously avoiding the rays of sunshine, which none of us are used to. but now that things are starting to turn to autumn and winter, we've actually just concluded the match against England, our version of the Ryder Cup, which is called the Old Enemies Cup, and Scotland was victorious over England. Perhaps to save the blushes of our English compatriots, we shouldn't mention the score at this point, but needless to say, it was a substantial victory.
Bit like Europe and the USA then?
The scores were almost exactly the same.
Oh well. So, you know, that's the Old Enemies Cup, because there are lots of tournaments you play every year in golf, but are things starting to wind down now?
Yeah, we've got a couple of events left to play in St Andrews, which is a nice, prestigious place to finish off the season. And of course, we overlap this time of year with our curling, which is starting out, started recently, and that's going to run right the way through until next March. And sometimes we have a combination golf and curling together where we have a couple of days of mixed sports, and we'll call those sticks and stones. So they've started up, and we get everybody of every ability to come along and give it a go. You know, you don't have to be a fantastic golfer, you can be a hacker of whatever age. There's no limits in that particular department, and the curling is much the same. It's just come along and have a go, get out there on the ice and find out exactly how anybody who's blind and vision impaired can easily play the game.
Now, you have people with a range of disabilities that play golf and curling and sort of take part. Is much of that just for fun? Is it people that are maybe just picking up the sticks or the stones for the very first time?
Yeah, I think that, to be honest, the vast majority of it is beginners and people who are coming into it, but certainly the vast majority of our time and effort goes into the social side of things. You know, your average game of curling lasts for 2 hours. Your average game of golf lasts for about 3.5 to 4 hours. So there's a lot of time in and around particular competitions, and, you know, especially if it's 2 or 3 days, where people are out and enjoying the 19th hole at the golf or the lounge bar in the curling rink. So there's plenty to do, and, you know, meeting new people and trying out new theories on the sport, all part and parcel of the game.
And you're not just meeting people from your local area when you take part. You know, you can travel around and play for fun. You can travel around and play in competitions as well.
Yeah, I mean, we organise 30 to 40 days of golf each year and around about 20 days of curling each year. So what each individual takes from that is entirely up to themselves. They could come once every month, they can come to every single competition, every single training event. There's no problem at all with that at all. That's exactly why we're here.
You're the secretary, Jim, of Scottish Disability Golf and Curling, but how did you get into both the sports?
Originally for the golf, I was actually getting a guide dog, my first dog. I'm on number 4 now, so it was a few years ago. And I went up to the old Forfar Centre, met a guy there who was also on the class, and he said, "Have you ever played before?" "No." He says, "Would you like to borrow a few clubs and go out and get a couple of lessons?" It's not easy to start, like any particular sport you're taking up. So obviously you go out there and practice a lot, and the game takes a wee while to come on. I mean, it was a little while after picking up the clubs, that I went out and played my first competition. And then by then the golfing bug had bit, so I went out and started to compete in local, regional and national competitions. And then thankfully the opportunities that were there through Scottish Disability Golf at the time, it was a case of travelling the world, and I've been lucky enough to go to visit lots of different countries.
So that's the golf. What about the curling?
There was a small group based in central Scotland who got together who were at that time just blind and vision impaired people, and they invited me to go along and give it a go, and that took me a wee while for that competition to grab me as well. But I did sort of get into the sport, and a little bit of practice and a lot of tuition, because it's all down to touch is the curling, so that took a wee while, but it's good. You know, I can go along, and we've got a competition coming up next year with a group from Canada, so that's how much it's developed in the 5-10 years that we've been organising events.
So the golf and the curling, I suppose they kind of run the same way then. You have the tasters, people can come along and try, or do you do that differently now?
We've basically merged the two structures, the pathway, as people like to call it these days. We get people introduced, get them some lessons, both at the golf or the curling, give them a chance to find out, you know, how things are done, and how things can be adapted for those individuals to play. Obviously, not everybody's the same shape or the same size or have the same ability. So, you know, finding the right solution for that person to play the game, you know, so it's fun. You've got to have the fun element. There's no point in just coming along for purely for competition. It would be a pretty boring sport if that was the way all the time.
What about taking it further then, Jim, in terms of the golf and the curling? Are they both at the kind of same levels, or is curling, you know, a bit of catch up at the moment?
Yeah, curling is definitely in the catch up mode. I think the difficulty with the curling is that on a certain date in April, beginning of April every year, it stops. And there's nothing after that, really. You know, you can't even go to another country to play it. It just stops. And then the curling rinks, all the ice is melted and the curling rinks close. Whereas the golf, even in the Scottish weather, you can continue over the winter and at least at worst play at the driving range or, you know, go out on a practice area. But the competitions can still continue, whereas with the curling and stuff. So then, of course, when it comes to the beginning of the season again, you're chasing everybody up to, you know, come and give it a try again and play in this competition. But I suppose that's a negative thing for the curling. Well, it's something that we're working on, and certainly in the next few years we'll be bringing that up to the level of the golf, getting more competitions, more events and more fun games.
What about feedback then from members? What's that been like for the golf and the curling?
Well, we seem to go through a phase each year, usually at the beginning sort of the winter time. I don't know why that is. If somebody has the solution, please let me know. But our membership takes a bit of a surge around about the beginning of winter, you know, as the golf's finishing, the curling's starting. And then during the summer months, you know, nothing really happens. But why that happens, nobody seems to know. But we've reached 1,000 members for both the golf and the curling, so there's certainly a substantial number of people playing it in Scotland.
And are people enjoying it?
Well, we certainly hope so. They keep coming back, so we don't have to pay them to come back, so they must be enjoying it.
What about people who have started the golf, the curling for the first time? What are they telling you about the game? What's it meant to them?
Well, we've got a guy who's actually just joined us in the last few weeks, and he's been playing in 2 or 3 competitions already at the various venues for both the golf and the curling. And one of the things that he's come back and said, that he's a member of a golf club and of a curling club, and he says he's actually enjoying the social side of ours and the get-togethers more than he's enjoying it as his home club. So I think that's a good indication that we've got something right.
Absolutely. Jim, we're almost out of time, but if people would like to learn more about the golf or the curling, how did he get in touch?
Well, we've got all the usual social media outlets and stuff like Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, so they'll all be there as a searchable using your favourite search engine. Things like email and phone numbers and letters and whatever you want to communicate with us by, you can get in touch that through the website by doing a quick search for Scottish Disability Golf and Curling.
Jim, best luck with the winter schedule, and thanks for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
No problem. Thanks very much, Alan.